Hello, Blank Green Canvas listeners. Do you enjoy this podcast? If so, please consider becoming a supporter on Anchor. You can support this podcast with a small monthly donation to help sustain future episodes. Monthly contributions range from 99 cents a month to $4.99 a month and $9.99 a month. Visit anchor.fm/blank-green-canvas and click Support This Podcast to become a monthly contributor. Hey everybody, this is Noah Villaverde, host of the Blank Green Canvas podcast, and I just wanted to give you guys a word of warning before you start listening to this It Chapter 2 podcast, spoiler-filled. One of my guests, my friend Dominic Rizzi, he appears in this podcast for the majority of it, but all of a sudden, for some reason, he disappeared. Turns out he fell asleep, and so there's that, but you do get to hear him give his final thoughts real quick in a special tag towards the end of this podcast, so please keep listening, obviously, if you want to hear his tag. But I want to give you that warning if you felt like, oh, that was an awkward disappearance and everything else, there was just a weird... He basically fell asleep, you know, so I just wanted to put that out there before you guys start listening. Once again, I just want to say thank you to everybody who supports this podcast, whether you're a regular listener or a donor or just like to hear my thoughts for some reason, because I can't thank you guys enough. So anyways, without further ado, here is this week's podcast on It Chapter 2. Hello everyone, this is Noah Villaverde, host of the Blank Green Canvas podcast. And with me this week is a returning guest from last week's 13 Reasons Why Season 3 spoiler-filled discussion, my good buddy Chris Nareen. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be back here. This is going to be a great podcast, so I'm excited.
Great. And with that being said, I am also joined by a first-time guest, a friend of me and Chris's. His name is Dominic Rizzi. Dominic, how are you doing?
Finally.
I know, right? Yeah. You've been wanting to be on the podcast in a while, and I'm glad that I'm able to get you on this week, because this week, oh, and by the way, sorry if you hear any background noises, you know, laundry and whatnot, we're going to be discussing It Chapter 2 in spoiler-filled detail, but before we get into that, I wanted to ask, how have you guys been over the last week? Starting off with you, Chris.
I've been pretty good, you know. I've been pretty good. Kind of a boring weekend for the most part, other than like seeing it.
No hurricane situations with Dorian or whatever.
No. Good.
Lucky
no,
it's you. Been it's fine. Seriously, good. That shit's no joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but it's yeah. I've been good.
My weekend consisted of. Friday night, watching It Chapter 2 with my buddies, and then recording another podcast about that. Don't worry, I won't do a shameless self-plug here yet. And then Saturday, I worked at my second job, and then I went over to my friend's house, and we watched Alita Battle Angel, and we roasted the shit out of it, and it was great, because that movie was terrible. Chris.
Yeah, I never saw it.
I don't know what you saw in that movie.
I mean, I gave it like a low 3 out of 5.
Then so. I wrapped up the day by going over to my buddy's house, and we came up with a sick.
It's funny because that Alita movie got a weird level of fandom in it when you know when Captain Marvel was coming out, and you know all those annoying people on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, like the worst kind of people.
That was fucking stupid.
But, and it's so weird because it's like go support this movie, and it's like wait a minute, they're both owned by Disney now.
Right.
Like, what are you trying to say?
One is mediocre at best. One is just bad. Like, that was... I'm not going to say that was painful to sit through because I was chilling with my friend, so I wasn't too angry. But I was like, Jesus Christ. Why did people watch this?
To be fair, like, I haven't seen the movie yet, so I don't have an opinion yet. So.
Yeah. I don't got an opinion. You got to have an opinion. I mean...
Of course.
Yeah.
Even if I haven't seen it. You know, that should be my opinion. But anyways, my week has been okay. You know, like, me and the family, we're actually downsizing. We have to keep the house clean because we're trying to sell it and all, you know. So that's a lot of stress. You know, obviously, the semester just began, like, 2 or so weeks ago. So I'm trying to get used to my scheduling and all the work I have to do. You know, it's my last semester after all, like, for my undergrad. Wow. So
congrats, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking
forward to finally being done. Yeah, that's no joke. Make sure you can, like, make sure you save your stamina. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes, indeed, you know, but I'm always excited to record this podcast because I just love talking about, like, what I love, movies, TV shows, you know, pop culture, music, and all that. And thankfully, once again, thank you for joining me this week for It Chapter 2. But before we discuss the sequel to 2017's hit horror film, which actually became the highest grossing horror film of all time, an R-rated horror movie, no less, at around $700 million worldwide. Let's talk about our thoughts on It Chapter 1 first. Now, let's start with you, Chris. If you have, by the way, Chris, do you have any memories of the book? Because I know you've read the book.
Yeah, no, I actually read the book, like, shortly before I saw the movie. So, before I saw the first movie. So, for the record, I just want to state that, like, It by Stephen King is my favorite book of all time. I love it so much. I think it's just like a masterpiece of writing, and I could go on and on about why I love that book, but I had a weird relationship with It Chapter 1 because when I first saw it, I thought it was fine, but I kind of just, I kept comparing it to the book, and I think that's just kind of what made my experience, like, just kind of weird with it. But as I rewatched it, I kind of just was able to appreciate it more for being its own thing, and I actually grew to really, really love It Chapter 1, and I think it's a really just a very unique horror movie in a lot of ways. I like that it's able to take the story and the prose from King and kind of modernize it in a way that, yeah, sure, we've seen before, but it doesn't, in my opinion anyways, it doesn't feel bland or like derivative. I really like Muschietti's direction. I thought the performances from all the kids, especially Sophia Lillis and Jack Dylan Grazer, were incredible. Loved Bill Skarsgård. I love that movie.
Oh, that's so. That's really cool. How about you, Dominic? You have any thoughts on It Chapter 1 from 2017?
Unfortunately, I don't recall loving it as much as Chris. Now, I'm not gonna lie, most of my recollection comes from watching it in theaters 2 years ago in 2017, first semester up at Oswego, RIP. Probably gonna be the best years of my life. Not important. I watched it Chapter 1 and I'm like, this is cool, but I thought that was supposed to be scary, and it just turned out kind of goofy because the clown, every time it tried to kill a kid, it just spun its face really fast and just looked really goofy and made a funny sound. And it ended up making the scene more hilarious than I think it was supposed to be. And I think that Muschietti's first time around as a director, yeah, he delivered on some good character work and some good sequences, but overall, as stringing together a film, I thought it still felt pretty amateurish because, correct me if I'm wrong, but does Muschietti only have the one film before It Chapter 1 with Mama in terms of feature?
I believe,
movies?
Yeah, Mama? Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. Alright, yeah, so there you go. And so I felt like it was the direction was a little bit amateurish, which is why a few of the scenes felt off. Some of the character work I wasn't a fan of, but I, looking back, the more and more I think about it, I really do appreciate how good that batch of young actors was.
Oh, yeah.
Because I do agree that, with the exception of the character work only really being done for five of them.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
I think all those actors did great with those.
Any
parts,
particular really that you love the most, stars, like of those kids?
Out of those two, the more I look back, honestly, Finn Wolfhard and Jack Dylan Grazer. I'm not kidding. And part of that is definitely due to some of the performances that we'll discuss in It Chapter 2. Right. I like Sophia Lillis, Jaden Lieberher, who's now Jaden Martell. I don't remember really liking that much. And Jeremy Ray Taylor, Wyatt Olaf, and Chosen Jacobs were all just kind of there.
I can see that.
You know?
Yeah, I can see that.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so those are your guys' thoughts on It Chapter 1. For me, yeah.
I believe I gave it a 3.5 out of 5 stars when I rated
it. Nice. Yeah, I remember I went to go see It Chapter 1 the Thursday night it came out. I was really looking forward to it. I didn't have that much of an affinity for, like, the original miniseries from, like, the 90s. You know, like, I liked the kids stuff to an extent, but I was never a fan of, like, how it always will go back and forth and back and forth with the flashbacks, you know. But I really dug It Chapter One. I love the way Andy Muschietti directed it, the visual style it had. I mean, obviously it had a few liberties from the book because of obvious reasons, but also like instead of it being the 50s and the 80s, they did it in a bit more modern sense because obviously 27 years later they would be in our time. So I guess then it would be like around the 80s. But really what makes this movie are the kids and Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise. You took the words right out of my mouth in referring to your favorite kids in the movie, Dominic, because those two, Jack Dylan Grazer and Finn Wolfhard, were my favorites. They steal that movie in almost every scene, especially when they're sharing it together. You know, like, their dynamic is just so hilarious. And also, like, with Finn Wolfhard in particular, like, you know, watching Stranger Things before checking It Chapter 2 out, it's like I'm so used to him as, you know, being Mike from Stranger Things. And then when he's the foul-mouthed Richie and everything else, his delivery is on point. I just found it really entertaining. And also Jack Dylan Grazer, who actually probably is my favorite of those kids. If I had to choose one, it's probably him.
Jack Dylan Grazer had my favorite line in that whole movie. He's like, he's the one that says, "Let's kill this fucking clown." And then apparently they, like I said, I won't spoil it yet.
You mean Finn Wolfhard. Finn Wolfhard was the one that said that.
No, Jack Dylan Grazer said, "I'm gonna kill this fucking clown."
No, I'm pretty sure it was Finn Wolfhard.
When they were down in
the... It was Finn Wolfhard. Jack Dylan Grazer...
What? What?
It's been a long time since you've seen the movie. Maybe.
I've watched it a week and a half ago.
Shit,
it's all good, dude.
I really thought it was Jack Dylan Grazer. Fuck.
It's because both their names, we're bringing them together so many times, so it's like, it's all good.
They kind of end up getting grouped together, kind of just by happenstance.
Yeah, but I do love, Finn Wolfhard's line in that movie, like when he's telling... When he's telling Bill, Richie was telling Bill, played by Jaden Lieberer, about how he's just so frustrated with him, but how he has no choice but to, you know, kill the clown, basically. Everybody in my audience cheered, and it was a sold out audience on a Thursday night. Everybody was having a great time with that movie. It's really entertaining. It's fun. You know, Bill Skarsgård, like, he's really terrifying in a lot of those scenes. Like, in a lot of ways, he gets you giggling a bit because you're a little uncomfortable. But I think he really makes that role his own because Tim Curry's performance in the original miniseries was already iconic, and I believe Bill Skarsgård really made it iconic in his own right, like, in an instant.
I agree. I think he definitely topped Tim Curry's performance, and he, it was a way more, I liked Tim Curry in the miniseries, but he was kind of one note though. Like, whereas I think Bill Skarsgård in the first movie, and especially the second movie, in my opinion, but we'll get into that later, he just has so much more, range, and his performance is really, like, can be, like, hilarious and terrifying in the same scenes.
Nice. Yeah. So,
my thing for Skarsgård is that I love how, besides, like, I can't decide whether to say that he's, like, what he's using from Tim Curry's performance or whether he's just, like, going based off of his own, but whatever it is, the thing about Pennywise is that he manages to make Pennywise both charming and awful at the same time. Because the thing about Pennywise is that he's so pathetic, if you believe in the mythos, that he is actually from the same dimension as the creatures from the mist.
Oh, yeah, right,
and
yeah.
And he was apparently kicked out and sent to our world because he sucks so badly at killing people. And that's apparently the excuse that... The unbridled, unknown excuse as to why Pennywise has gotten away with still not successfully killing the losers as adults. Because he has so many chances to... And messes them up so much.
Oh, yeah, I get
but
that.
But Bill Skarsgård is still so goddamn...
He's so entertaining. Yeah, he chews up the scenery. Yes. He's delightful. And it's weird to say
he's
that about
hilarious.
A murderous clown. Delightful, but... Yeah.
Right? Technically not a clown.
I need to watch Castle Rock. I hear he's, like...
I still need to watch
right
Castle
now.
Rock. Well, anyways, those are our thoughts on It Chapter 1. Yeah. We all like it overall. I think Chris might be the one that enjoys it the most. I actually love it, too. I do love It Chapter 1. So we're going to talk about, spoiler-free first, our thoughts on It Chapter 2. You know, it takes place 27 years later. We go back to Derry. We see all the losers. I mean, almost all the losers. Reunite in Derry, Maine, after 27 years when Isaiah Mustafa's character, what's it, Mike, right? Mike Hanlon? He calls them all back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he says, "Hey, everybody, we got... It's back, basically, you know, and so everybody comes back to Derry so they could confront this thing once and for all after 27 years. So, spoiler-free thoughts first, Chris.
Okay, so I went into this movie really excited, obviously, for one, just because, I mean, it's It Chapter 2. It's practically, like, you know, like, just a Marvel movie for, like, the horror
kind
genre,
of,
you know? Like, it's an event movie. Yeah, and you know, obviously I'm a massive fan of the book, and the thing is, I know this movie got a lot of very, like, mixed, like, and very divisive reactions, but, yeah, I love this thing. I really love this movie. It's, in a lot of ways, it is a very, messy movie. You know, in terms of the way it's structured, and I can't really argue with those complaints, but I feel like it's executed and structured in a way that really just pays tribute to the book, I think, in a very beautiful way. But even beyond the book, a lot of the things about it, just there are a lot of things about it that just really, really worked for me. I liked the structure personally with how it would kind of just, it would show, like, the interactions with them and Pennywise as a child, and then it would flip back to them with them later, because in my opinion those scenes just kind of gave them further development as characters and in ways that I thought really worked. And yeah, I love this movie. I think it has, like, an amazing climax. I think the performances are really great. Bill Hader is phenomenal as Richie Tozier. He's absolutely perfect in this role, and I just finished binge watching Barry just a couple days before I saw this movie, and he really just has so much talent and range, that guy, and what he does with his performance here I think is really special. And him and James Ransone, those two actors in this movie, in my opinion, just did incredible work, and I really liked everybody else. There wasn't a weak spot in the adult cast for me. I thought everyone was surprisingly, like, really good in it, you know. But yeah, no, I love this movie. I think it's just a beautiful tribute to King, and I think a beautiful continuation of where things left off in the first movie.
Let's go on to Dominic.
Yeah, Chris, I almost climaxed myself there during your discussion of the movie's climax. So, yeah, if I thought It Chapter 1 was a little bit amateurishly directed, I thought It Chapter 2 was much, much better in terms of the overall just bombasticness of the style. Like, this was Muschietti unhinged, with going a lot of wide angle, including a lot of movement in all of his shots, such as to always keep the pace going, so you never feel like there's actually a slow moment going. Because I think that with the exception of a few, like, sit-downs, the camera's almost always moving. The effects are kept goofy, but I feel like intentionally so. There may be a few comedy moments and sound editing moments that don't exactly go perfectly. One scene in particular that we'll discuss in spoiler sections, where it just feels like the editing department just slept on that and was just like, sure. But other than that, this was a very wild, goofy, uneven mess, but I freaking loved it. I loved every single second of it. Chris, I cannot agree with you more. The character work in the movie is off the chain. The casting could not have been better. I've said this once, I will say this again 1.5 million times. I love their decision to put huge cast names with lesser-known character actors, all paired up once again against Bill Skarsgård, and put through a series of nightmarish scenarios and included with a ton of flashbacks. I think It Chapter 2 might be one of my favorite horror movies of all time. I'm not kidding when I say that.
That's interesting.
Same here.
Okay, so you guys...
Not in the first
I feel like
movie
that was
for me.
Yeah. Diverse enough.
That's cool. That's cool. So you guys were big fans of It Chapter 2. That's cool to hear. You know, and I'll say this much first. I liked the movie more than I didn't. I did. But let me go into the good stuff first when it comes to my thoughts on It Chapter 2. In a lot of ways, I really appreciate that the movie was willing to be as bold and as grand as it was in many cases. I like that Andy Muschietti was given the opportunity to kind of do whatever he wanted almost in some cases, you know, even with, which we'll get into, the long runtime. You know, this movie's long, guys. And you guys keep hearing this everywhere, like in like the discourse around the movie or whatever. You'll hear it from like your friends who went to go see it. They'll probably go like, yeah, I went to go see It Chapter 2 last week. I didn't know it was 3 hours long. Or like, oh, wow, that was a long movie and all. But, you know, but besides the length, I can agree with you guys more on the cast. I mean, the casting department, you know, the casting director that chose all the people that played the adult versions of the losers, they should get some sort of award because they nailed it, you know. Like, I mean, can't stress enough how good Bill Hader is, you know, as the older Richie. He really makes it his own at the same time of also emulating what Finn Wolfhard would have been like when he would grow up in that character, you know. Also, James Ranzone as the older version of Eddie, Jack Dylan Grazer, I was blown away. Like, I genuinely believe that he was grown-up Eddie or grown-up Jack Dylan Grazer, like, to a T. I was just kind of awestruck at how good he did his impressions. You know, obviously Jessica Chastain, James McAvoy, they both do a great job also, you know, as Bill, or as Bev and Bill, respectively. You know, who plays him, the older, the chubby kid? What's the chubby kid's name?
Jay Ryan as Ben.
Jay Ryan, like, he did a really good job too. Like, even in his face, even though he obviously had to lose weight for the, like, young Ben, he grew up, he lost a lot of weight obviously, and then he ended up becoming a stud, you know, sexy basically, and
sexy archetype.
Yeah, really, like, look at his face though.
He's
like,
just
it's like
a playboy. Yeah,
that you could totally see that being in his face, you know. Like, who played the kid version of that?
You
again,
you still see the fat kid. You still see the pop, the kid version is Jeremy.
Jeremy Ray Taylor. Yes.
You still see the fat kid pop out in him. Yeah. Like that, you know, that personality traits and everything.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, and Isaiah Mustafa, I think, should get a lot of credit. You know, like, he nailed it. And you know, naturally, you know, that character Mike was given short shrift in the first movie. You know, typically just by nature of what it is, you know, I guess. Part of me gets it. But I thought he was fantastic. Like, he really nailed them.
Yes.
Like, he also had the physicality of Chosen Jacobs, you know. So all the adults were great. But Bill Skarsgård is, as you'd expect, fantastic, you know. He really gets to expand a bit in his scares, like including one scene that you see in the last trailer that scared me even more when I watched it in the theater. You know, and there were elements of this movie that I thought were incredible, but my frustration with the movie is not just because I felt like it's bloated in some cases or that it exhausted me in many ways, but also in the fact that although a lot of these scenes worked in isolation, I feel like putting them together, especially by nature of it going from like present flashback, present flashback, present flashback, it got me really tired, especially given the fact that there were certain flashbacks that I thought were really, really got me, you know, they hooked me, and there were some others that just weren't as compelling, and there are scares involved in them that I just didn't find that impressive, you know. So like the second act, even though I appreciated that how it was trying to explore, because the big theme of It Chapter 2 is like dealing with childhood trauma and how it still affects you when you grow up, in a lot of ways I appreciate and loved how they explored that, but at the same time I feel like the second act really just was a little too messy for me. Although I will say, the third act, the big action climax, it's weird to say, the big climax of this movie, basically, I thought was really well done, really frightening in a lot of places, and I really dug it. And even though I felt like the way the movie ends kind of had like the Return of the King syndrome in some ways, where it felt like, oh, it feels like it should end here, but no, it ends here. You guys get where I'm coming from in that sense?
Yeah.
I have my frustrations with the way the movie turned out in some ways. It's a little like I said, my big problem is that it's a bit bloated in ways that didn't need to be. And also the way the characterizations are done, it relies more on like, oh yeah, you remember them as kids, so they're present day things. I'll give the actors credit. They really added more to it than what the script may have given them in terms of development as adults. But overall, I enjoyed it. It Chapter 2. Even though it was long and exhausting, I never felt bored. I just felt like, man, this thing is thick, you know. And I get it, because the book is 1,000+ pages long, as you've read, Chris. But like, despite my frustration overall, I do love the fact that it exists and that Warner Brothers and New Line Cinema let Annie Muschietti make it as long as it was, and we're bold with this really big studio R-rated horror film, you know. So those are our spoiler-free thoughts on It Chapter 2. Now me, Chris, and Dominic are about to go talk spoiler-filled. So if you have not seen It Chapter 2, please tune out. But if you have seen It Chapter 2, please stay tuned as we discuss our thoughts on certain spoilerific details. So, Chris, I wanted to ask you first, is there anything, like, from the beginning? Like, let's actually talk about the beginning first. Because there's some controversy around the opening scene of this movie.
Yeah. So I've read a lot of, like, the complaints about, like, how they feel like the opening with the Adrian Mellon character and him and his boyfriend just being just, you know, insulted and attacked, how that felt really tone deaf, and how that scene kind of follows with the Adrian character played by Xavier yeah. Dolan of all people in this movie, just being killed by Pennywise. I've heard a lot of complaints about that, and while I understand them, I don't agree with that personally. I feel like, yeah, sure, it's a provocative thing to see something like that in a movie happen, unfortunately, to queer characters like that, but I don't think the movie is trying to at all, like, treat their characters as, for whatever reason, any less, like, fortunate than really any other of the characters in the movie in terms of characterization. I think that scene just kind of emphasizes on how Pennywise, his evil nature has mm-hmm. no boundaries, you know, with yeah. a lot of the other characters, the way that he haunts them, it stems from, like, right. their own problems, like with Ben, you know, with being overweight, or with Beverly and how she's, you know, she's basically being sexually
abused
by
her husband,
by her dad.
Yeah.
All those, yeah, and then her husband. And I think that, like, I mean, I think in the book that moment is handled a lot, like, just a lot more intimately, because it actually goes back to the boyfriend. He's just kind of telling the story to, like, the police. And he's just, like, he's just
oh,
really,
so it's,
like, it's a very
it's just like that in the book, right? It's
book.
A gay couple?
Yeah, no, it's that in the book, but what's different is it actually shows, like, it starts off with the boyfriend explaining, like, what happened to the police, and he's just, it's a really, like, just tense and really just emotional moment. And it goes into the relationship actually for a little bit, not for, like, too long, but for a little bit. And there's actually some other, like, LGBT stuff in the book that the movies didn't really go into. The Patrick Hockstetter, I think that's his name, the character who's friends with with the bully. Yeah, when there's a gay scene with him in the book that happens, like, yeah.
It needs to be clear. I think Dominic,
bully,
we both haven't
I
read
think.
The book, so.
No, I have not read the book.
Yeah.
Chris, I have no idea what you were speaking
about. Sorry. I think that, like, overall, just that moment, it really just kind of ties into just the themes of how Pennywise just can really just, it kind of just emphasizes, I think, just what the metaphor of the story itself is, and how, like, Pennywise just really just represents, like, deep-seated fear and yeah,
it's a way
and
to put
trauma,
it.
You know? But that's just my take,
nice.
Though.
Dominic, yeah. Do you have any thoughts on the opening scene overall? Like, with the, you know?
Yeah, I could see it being provocative, but I just thought that it was a fabulously over-the-top, unnecessary thing that resulted in somebody getting brutally murdered by Pennywise.
Yeah.
So regardless of race or sexual orientation, it was a very entertaining scene. very good way to start.
Yeah, it really gets you. It really captures your attention. Agreed. Immediately. In regards to people, yes, feeling in one weird way offended by the scene, I think it's also indicative of, I think, because Derry, Maine, it's just kind of going to show like how a lot of those injustice and like prejudice still rampant in that city, likely. So like the visibility, yeah, of a same-sex couple there on top of like those, that group of people, you know, committing a hate crime basically against one of them, and then followed by Pennywise coming in with his evil, you know, basically eating him alive, just kind of plays into just the existing prejudices that still exist, not just today, but in specifically in Derry, Maine, because we know how Stephen King really likes to tell his stories in a lot of ways, you know. So I get where that comes from, but yeah, I like the opening scene overall. And then we, of course, we see, obviously, you know, Mike calls everybody up again. We first see James McAvoy's character. He's on the set of a film that's based on one of his books. And as you could tell, there's the big running joke that's obviously a nod to Stephen King himself, how the stories that he writes, people love them until the ending. You know, and people, that's a big common thing with fans of Stephen King or readers of his books. They say, we think you're a great storyteller, but we hate how you end your stories. You know, so I thought that was really, and that's in the book too, I'm assuming, right?
So
please tell me it's Peter Bogdanovich.
That actually isn't in the book.
That'd be amazing.
So I don't remember that being in the book. I haven't read it in a couple years, but like I don't remember that being in the book. Going on to what you were saying though about how a lot of his endings are widely hated. The ending of It is actually very widely hated. So I don't know. I felt like maybe, and the ending of the book is actually different from the,
oh,
the
right,
ending of the,
okay,
movie too. The ending.
Describe it
different.
Once we get there. Like, we'll get there.
I love,
yeah,
the,
you know.
Sure.
But like,
yeah,
sure. I did get a good few chuckles, so, about how like, oh yeah, like people hated my ending, you know, and literally how literally everybody hates his endings from what it sounds like. Even when he reunites with his friends at the Chinese restaurant, Bev is like, yeah, I hated that ending, mm-hmm. You know. So like we're introduced to James McAvoy, who we all thought did a really great job, you know, as older Bill, you know, like him dealing with the trauma still and the guilt of the death of Georgie and everything else. I thought was really interesting, you know. So we see all the characters, you know, older. You know, we see Bill Hader. You know, he's a stand-up comedian, and in the book he was a DJ, wasn't he? Yeah, he was a DJ, but he's,
yeah,
a stand-up comedian,
yeah,
which is fitting, you know, for Bill Hader. You know, he throws,
yeah,
up. We learn about his character that he harbors a bit of a secret of his own, to say the least. We obviously see Beverly grown up. We also see Eddie grown up, and we see that he married to a woman that looks physically just like his mom did, and that says a lot about his character, obviously.
Was never seen again.
Oh,
same,
yeah, literally
Beverly
one shot,
too,
right?
Scene.
She was,
yeah,
only there in one shot.
Literally,
yeah,
that's it. Never mentioned again.
Well, she's mentioned, but we don't see her again. So it's like, there's, right, that. And then, of course, like, we see Ben. He still has that note from Beverly when they were young in his wallet. He's just, he's made a name for himself, you know, architecture and everything else. Like, he's having a board meeting from his home, you know, like, he looks into his wallet, you know, he's just enjoying himself a drink and all. And then he gets the call from Mike, and he realizes what he needs to do. And then, of course, poor Stanley. Andy Bean, right? That's who plays him? Poor Andy,
yeah,
Bean. He doesn't get a chance to hang out with...
It's insane how much he looks like Wyatt.
You know,
yeah, look, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was like, what the,
yeah,
fuck? Yeah. Because I saw Andy Bean. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Did they CG Wyatt,
yeah,
Olaf's face on the,
oh, fun fact about Wyatt Olaf.
For a second, I thought they,
fun,
did,
fact about Wyatt Olaf. He actually played young Peter Quill, aka Star-Lord, in the Guardians,
yes,
movies. And it's funny because, like, he looks nothing like what Chris Pratt would go up to be.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
You know,
no.
So, but Andy Bean.
He looks more like Andy Bean,
yeah,
than Chris Pratt.
So Andy Bean should have played Star-Lord. Maybe. You know, but, like.
That would have been an interesting
completely
casting.
Different movie. You know, but, of course, you know, poor Stanley, he just couldn't bear to go back to see them again or to confront Pennywise. That's how bad it traumatized him. He slits his wrists and he dies in his bathtub. You know, so that's a little unfortunate, obviously. So
this movie deals with layers, man.
That was
layers.
That was a really, like, that was a really devastating moment, though. I'm not going to lie. Absolutely. That made me, like, shed a tear. Yeah. If I do have one complaint, I wish that, like, it was, like, that moment was longer, because, like, and I hate to do this, but, like, in the book, like,
advocating for suicide.
This makes sense that you came here on the 13 like, Reasons Why podcast.
No, but, in the book, they actually explore for 20, I'd say, like, 15 to 20 pages, his relationship with his wife and how depressed he had gotten as an adult, and it's actually really powerful in the book. Yeah. Like there's scenes of him just going to therapy with like his wife and him.
So
just,
the trauma just being, really just, did last his whole
just
life.
Traumatized as a kid. Yeah, no, it did. And yeah, like they weren't able to like have kids.
Wait, Bill
or anything.
Stanley?
Like,
Stanley.
He was just too scared of like Stanley. And when that moment like finally happens, yeah, it really is like a gut punch. And I wish that moment was just a bit longer, just for that reason, because those scenes like of Stanley are
that's
are
interesting to hear. So let's go to the point where you know they reunite at the Chinese restaurant. They're just they're just having dinner, having drinks, they're having a good time reuniting. And this is where like Bill Hader and James Ranzone's chemistry is just on point. Like their camaraderie with one another, hysterical.
Hysterical in that moment.
You know, and then they find it. Because
they're just like, they're boys again. And they're boys and one girl again.
Yeah.
They're all just chilling.
And you've all been there, right? Where you haven't seen, like, old friends.
And you feel the vibe in the room. That's the other thing, too. Like, it's a vibe. That vibe of friendship, of camaraderie.
Absolutely. Yeah, you feel the connection that was rekindled after 27 years and everything else. Like, we've all been there where we reunite with old friends after a long time, and it's like you just catch up for where you left off. You know, like, just this summer I hung out with some old high school friends that I haven't really seen in a while, you know, and it's like we just pick up where everything left off. So they really nailed that. And then, of course, we find, you know, Mike just lets them know, hey, I'm not here because I want to meet up with you guys. I'm here because something bad's happening, and we're screwed. And then fortune cookies show a certain... Like, they all have, like, one word on each of them, and then we find out, you know, how Stanley just couldn't cut it, you know, unfortunately. You know, which leads to, like, this whole big CG, this interesting scare, like, with that, you know, like, which plays into a thing. Like, I feel like some of the CG works, and in some cases I feel like it's just a little too goofy for my taste. I get it, the movie...
I think it's kept intentionally bad.
I liked the CG personally. Same. Like I liked the goofy look of it.
I could, like, it was the CG that was meant to look fake, and like I didn't have a problem with that at all. Like, it was like really generic, like 3D model.
There's only one moment where like it really didn't work.
What would you say it didn't work it for you? Like, which scene in particular?
Okay, so the bit of Ben's like, flashback scene as a kid.
That's
like,
probably the one for me that
with,
worked
like, Beverly
the least,
on
definitely.
Fire.
Oh, what was that? The headlighting on fire?
I like that scene a lot. Yeah, but like here's the thing. I like that like scene a lot personally. And I liked when I like the moment with him in the locker. When Pennywise just comes up to him. Yeah, well, not too far off, but just that bit of like Beverly just on fire, I just thought was just
for me the CG works particularly in like the big climax scene, you know, which is needed because we have Pennywise in the big spider form.
Yes,
you know, well,
significantly better than the big CG climax scene in Wonder Woman. Significantly better.
I like the Paul Bunyan.
Oh yeah, the Paul Bunyan scene was
good.
That was
goofy. That was goofy and that was fun, but if you could have cut one scene, one flat, that one, it would have been that one. Yes.
Really?
In terms of scares or like just in general, like.
No, just in terms of like why it's like, oh,
well,
okay, it's a giant Paul.
It's funny you bring that up. Let's actually talk about that, where that scene is in, and you know how it plays into Bill Hader and Finn Wolfhard, you know, because from what I could gather, like, there's something hinted in the books. It's not necessarily explicit, but the way the Muschietti approached it this time around is that basically we flashback, and the movie has a lot of flashbacks, guys. Like, the kids are in this a lot more than I expected.
A lot.
You know, and so one of those flashbacks, which is probably the one that resonates with me the most because of how it plays into the character as he's an adult, is that we find out, like, you know, young Richie, he's playing in the arcade with this other kid, you know, and then he wants the kid to stay with him, and he gives him the coin, and then what's the bully's name again? Henry Bowers.
Henry Bowers.
He's like, hey, what? Like, he basically uses, like, the gay slur against him, and it's hinted or basically revealed, like, yeah, he's been harboring, like, an attraction to guys. Like, he's starting to realize that, you know. And then it turns out he's been closeted for years, you know, like Bill Hader. And Pennywise comes back for his big scene, trying to scare him, talking about, hey, Richie, I know your secret. That, mixed with his fear of clowns, just makes it a lot more unsettling and disturbing, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought, like, that was the best arc.
For, oh, I agree. For any, he definitely had the best arc the overall, especially with what is Richie's. Revealed. Like, well, we're jumping around in terms of the chronology, but it's okay, yeah. Because we're just kind of giving our own random thoughts on, like, how the film was. But that whole arc with him and Eddie, you know, like, how he really loved Eddie, and we thought it was because he just really cared, like, he considered him his best friend, which he probably did. But, you know, like, we see him as a kid carving up, like, R+, and it was like, who is he going to carve the other initial? And by the end of the movie, he goes back to that place, and he carves an E, so obviously it's implied that he had feelings for Eddie, you know, from growing up.
Also, just the bit of them, like, when they go, like, to their, clubhouse.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. And they start, like...
Oh, yeah. Speaking of CGI and the kids again, by the just, way, like, I heard that they did de-aging on them. Like, did you guys... Like, yeah, Dominic, did you notice the de-aging? Apparently. Dominic, you there? Huh. Chris, can you hear Dominic? Oh, that's weird.
No, I can't.
We'll continue on a bit. How about you message him in the meantime to see where he is? You know. yeah. So, anyway, sure. Sorry about that, guys. A bit of a technical snafu recording this over Skype and all. But what else was I thinking about? So, what I find interesting about, like, the way the movie approaches... for me, the biggest themes that the film explores that really resonate with me is how it deals with childhood trauma. And I think, for the most part, the actors and Jessica Chastain, actress, they really nail dealing with that after literally, like, two decades or nearly three decades of that childhood trauma, because of they really showcase how it really sticks with you after all these years, and how sometimes the best therapy is just to confront it firsthand. You know, so I always found that pretty fascinating overall. Chris, do you have any thoughts in the meantime? Of
yeah, no, I think that there's a lot of things that this movie did well when it came to, like, the writing and just the approach and the way that it handled the themes of the story. For me, I think, like, the one thing I found a little underwhelming personally for me was Jessica Chastain. Now, let me make this clear. I think she's great in the movie. I loved her as Beverly.
Yeah, she reunites with Andy Muschietti here after Mama.
Yeah, she does, and she plays the role perfectly. I think that that character could have used, like, just a little more, like, emotional weight. I mean, when she starts off, like, when it opens up with her as an adult and you find out that her husband...
Yeah, even though, like, she's well off, like,
it's a very, like, powerful
scene. Like, her husband abuses her. Yeah. Like, and even tells her, like, you're nothing without me. Yeah. Which is, like, you know.
Yeah, and that's, like, a very powerful scene. Like, it's a really sad scene. And even in her moment, in her little moment when it flashes back to Sophia Lillis, I really like that moment too when she visits the old lady. I love the flashback scene there. But I don't know. Overall, I think the writing for her character just could have been a little bit stronger. In certain moments, I think her arc focuses a little too much on the Ben and Bill love triangle. I think there's a little too many. I like that love triangle personally, and I really liked her chemistry with both of those actors. Well, all the actors really. But yeah, I think her arc just could have been developed a little bit more. Is one of my only problems with this movie, really. But yeah, and getting back to earlier, the thing about the length. What's weird is, for whatever reason, this movie actually flew by like quickly for me. Like, this was like the quickest like near 3 hour movie for me since like, I don't know, since like Endgame for me. Like, this movie just flew by for me. I don't know, I was just so invested and just so in awe of like of the visual style this time around. I agree that the visuals are way more prevalent and just better here overall. And it's really beautifully shot, this movie. It really is.
Yeah, so, interesting. Yeah. Hey, Dominic, are you there? Are you anywhere? What happened to Dominic? Did Pennywise eat him? What happened?
No clue.
He's still on the Skype call, it says. But, what, did he fall asleep? I get it. It's like 11 where he's at, or 10 where he's at, depending on, like, standard time. But where are you, man? Are you sure? Yeah, Pennywise probably took him. That's probably what happened. You know.
Yeah, so, Pennywise took Dominic.
Sorry, Dominic, that really you're gone. Hopefully Pennywise sends me your audio file so I can merge all these together, unfortunately. You know, but, well, let's see where we go from here. Sorry about this weird snafu, guys. It's a little awkward, to say the least. But so anyways, well, let's just quickly I just want to sum up my thoughts again overall. Like, I really do love the performances in this movie. I think the cast is just kind of all down the line, they all make this movie, and that includes Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise. I really think this cast makes this movie, and it's the strength of this movie, and they really add more to their roles. Even though I have a lot of problems with the way they characterize and write the adult characters in some ways, with the exception of Bill Hader and James Ransone, I think. Actually, overall, they were written for the most part okay, but I felt like they over-relied too much on us remembering them as kids than making them their own realized characters as adults to make them more fleshed out, if you know what I mean, you know. But the parts that work, even with its really long runtime, really do work, and I enjoyed it more than I didn't. It's really, there's a lot of great sequences in here, particularly the big climax, and I really appreciate that New Line Cinema was willing to let Annie Muschietti and the gang basically get a movie like this made, you know, like, as long as it is, you know. I really appreciate that they we're able to get this movie. I just like that it exists, basically, to sum it all up.
Yeah.
So those were our thoughts overall on It Chapter 2. Sorry that Dominic basically got eaten by Pennywise, the dancing clown. We have no idea where he is. He's probably stuck somewhere in the sewage, you know, so we'll probably have to find him.
Hopefully within the next 27 years.
We'll reunite with him in 27 years.
As a, you know, as a Skype group.
We'll reunite in 27 years with whatever Stephen King movie will be adapted by then. So, oh, by the way, we haven't mentioned that Stephen King cameo. That came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I kind of had that spoiled for me. Like, because there was actually a review. Like, I forget who. It was, like, a review on, like, Rotten Tomatoes, I think. There was a review that spoiled that. And that moment was kind of cheesy, but, I don't know. I was just, it didn't bother me too much because, I don't know, Stephen King's just, like, a likable presence, and I thought, like...
Yeah, the whole tongue-in-cheek element of him saying, hey, I don't want you to sign my book because I hated the ending. You know, that was funny. It was just so weird seeing him on screen, you know, because Stephen King. It's like, oh, wow, he's in this. So that was... I did get a good chuckle out of that scene. And I bet Dominic did, too, but we can't find out because Pennywise ate him, sadly. You know, so... You want to say anything real quick, Chris? And maybe say something on Dominic's behalf?
Sure. Yeah, you know, I gotta honor my my dead friend Dominic here.
Where are you, Dominic?
Just the way the gang honored Stanley. I think I like, honestly, the fact that this movie got such divisive reactions. And I understand a lot of the complaints with it. I really, really do. But as just a massive fan of the book, this movie, I don't know, this movie gave me, like, Harry Potter feels, just personally, in terms of, like, just inner fandom. And I just thought it was just such a lovely, like, just a beautiful story. And even though it's messy, it's messy in a way that works for me. And, yeah.
All right, those were our thoughts on It Chapter 2. Do you want to plug your Letterboxd real quick, Chris?
Yeah, my Letterboxd is the Chris Volta. Yeah, you can follow me. I write semi-decent reviews on there. You know, check it out.
Okay, and sadly, Dominic doesn't exist anymore because Pennywise ate him, sadly. But just shout out to Dominic Rizzi, you know, wherever he is. R.I.P. Dominic Rizzi, hashtag R.I.P. Dominic Rizzi, because he's gone. And for some reason, his Skype is still here. Justice for Dominic. Okay. Anyways, sorry, we're ending this awkwardly, guys. But this is Noah Villaverde, host of the Blank Green Canvas podcast. Thank you for listening to me, Chris, and Dominic, R.I.P., our discussion on It Chapter 2, spoiler-filled. And in regards to an upcoming episode, that is to be determined. Scheduling and my busy schedule is pretty hectic at the moment. So I'll keep you guys posted in regards to what plans I have for another episode, whether it's next week or any time in the future. But festival season's coming up, so there's going to be a lot of discussion, obviously, on like all the big movies playing that are on the festival circuit or for awards season. There's a lot that I'm looking forward to. I might talk to a friend that's more familiar with the festival circuit than I am about that. But in regards to coming in the future, I will come back soon, and very soon, in fact. But in the meantime, once again, Noah Villaverde, host of the Blank Green Canvas podcast, and I will see you in my next episode.
Hey, guys, I'm alive. Pennywise didn't eat me. I just fell asleep. I liked It Chapter 2. It was fun. It was bonkers. It was bananas. The action sequences were great. The acting was great. It was just a fun overall time at the theater, and that's why I enjoyed it. We'll be right back.